What if you could measure your employer brand as a single number? What if you could track it over time? We do that. It's called the Employer Brand Index. Continuously measuring what's positive and negative about you as an employer from a candidate perspective is the key. The Employer Brand Index helps you measure your employer brand and validates your perceptions or draw up a few surprises, both good and bad. The Employer Brand Index works best when done over time to see how things are changing. Some companies use it as a baseline before they launch their EVP. Others add in some talent competitors to see how they stack up. Stay on top of your employer brand. Go to employerbrandindex.co to learn more.
Hey, Sveisan. It's Jorgen Sundberg here with the Employer Branding Podcast, brought to you by Link Humans, London's employer branding agency. This week, we're talking to a medical device company, and this company is, like many others, shifting its talent focus towards technology. So that's something high on your agenda. You want to pay attention to this interview. And also, it's going to take us on a journey halfway around the world, from Kalamazoo to Costa Rica, all the way up to the Nordics, my old homeland. So without further ado, let's start the show. Hey, Tanil, how are you doing?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. So please let our listeners know who you are and what you do, what brings you on the podcast today.
Sure. My name's Tanil Folk. I am the Director of Global Talent Attraction for Stryker. I'm staring out the window at a very gloomy, rainy Kalamazoo, Michigan. So for those who are unfamiliar, it's kind of the southwest side of the state of Michigan. I work for a company called Stryker. We work in the world of medical device. So we do everything from new hip in knees to new wrists and shoulders. We're getting into the world of robotics and robotic surgery. We have cameras and booms and lights and beds and cots and stretchers. So we really run the gamut of the medical device world. Talent attraction started within the organization a couple of years ago. I was really lucky to be able to write my dream job description and have been able to start building a team over the last couple of years. It's been a really fun ride.
Great. And I noticed on your LinkedIn profile, you've been at Stryker for 13.7 years, actually. So tell me what's kept you there for so long. What makes it a special place?
Sure. That's a very precise number from LinkedIn. I call Stryker my second life. So this is kind of my second part of my career. I worked in the hotel industry for several years before coming to Stryker. And I think what brought me here was I was really looking for more. We'll say that. I had just started a family and was really looking for something that was a little more conducive to a family life. I was missing out on holidays and weekends and things when you work in the hotel industry. It's 24/7. So my husband had actually got a job at Stryker like 6 months before I did, and was coming home and talking about how great the culture was and how they invest in their people. And I was pretty disengaged in my current life in the hotel industry and was like, Yeah. Can you shut up about how great your life is right now? So it didn't take too long for him to pull me in. And it's been a great, great ride since. I mean, some of the things that I really love and what has kept me here for 13.7 is the work-life balance that I get to have with my husband and my kids and my friends and getting to pursue some things outside of work, but still be successful at work. I think that's a really strong combination and maybe not something that exists all over. And then when I said I was looking for something more, I really felt a need to work for something or somewhere that had this very mission-based kind of work. Like I wanted to feel like what I was doing mattered in some capacity. And I'm not sure you can get any bigger than that than working in a healthcare industry where the things that you make and the people that you hire directly impact the lives of others. So that's kind of a big bucket fill for me when I'm having a bad day or things aren't going right. It's kind of the bigger picture of what we get to do is really pretty cool.
And I have to ask, is your husband still a Stryker?
He is. So I guess he's,
yes. 14.2.
yeah, exactly.
Okay, great. All right. So let's talk about the talent challenges. So what are you up against
at Stryker? And also, how does the employer brand and talent attraction strategy try to remedy that?
So I think we are in a similar position where most companies are and most people in our space are, which is technology. We're not necessarily writing the next really cool app for your phone, but we are looking for really talented software engineers, embedded software engineers, and some application engineers that are helping us come up with what is the next latest and greatest medical device technology. So I mentioned earlier, we got into the robotics space. So we've got robotic assisted surgery now. So we're looking for people in robotics. And I'm not sure that anybody saw that coming, 5 or 10 years ago in the medical device area. And so we're looking for really different skill sets that we've had to in the past. We've always looked for mechanical engineers. We've always looked for electrical engineers. But we're really seeing a massive growth in the software engineering space. And that's a challenge for everyone. And so we spend a lot of our time on the attraction side, again, like most of us probably do, really thinking about how do we get the right kind of engineering talent into the organization. And so for us, we're going up against the Amazons and the Googles and the Microsofts, where these engineers are probably coming out of school and excited to work in the garage and come up with like the next best, really cool thing. But what we have found is our space is really finding those engineers who, like myself, wanted more and are more mission driven. And that's what's important to them. On top of it, also offering an opportunity to really grow with an organization who's really investing in that particular space. We do a ton of investment into research and development. And so our engineers get to get really hands-on and try some cool stuff, fail really quickly, and then turn around and come up again with kind of what is the latest innovation in the world of medical device. Technology space is a challenge for us, as it is for most. I think for us too, we do a fantastic job from a campus relations standpoint. We get a lot of students, we bring them in and we grow them within the culture. Our organization has grown so quickly though in the last few years that we really had to build in our middle line management quite a bit, and finding those experienced people who are interested in maybe moving to a place like Kalamazoo or some of these lesser known cities that we might be in was a bit of a challenge. And so we're continuing to look at how do we bring in that middle line management talent as well and what speaks to them. So we do some time with focus groups with internally to understand their drivers of what got them here and what makes them stay. And then we try to reproduce that in a messaging and go out to the target audience with some of those messages. Those are probably the bigger of the two. We have small pockets of, we just opened a finance center in Costa Rica. So this is a market we've never been in before. So it's all new. So we started with some data research. I actually have a external data intelligence person on my team who goes out and does the labor market sweep for us, the competitive intelligence. She brings that back and shares it with the branding and recruitment marketing team, who then use that to figure out their messaging, their channels, locations, competition. How do we target all of those things using that on a foundation of data, which we've never had before, which is really exciting.
So, okay. So I'm interested in, you said you listen to what people really want and you package it up as messaging. Is there an EVP in place? And could you talk us through the EVP and potentially the pillars?
Absolutely. I was actually pretty fortunate. Our corporate communications team took on the EVP project, and that was 2 years ago now. I was the benefiter of them taking care of the budget and making that work. So they are doing that work. So they went out and got a couple of agencies to help them with that and came back. They did focus groups internationally or across the globe at all of our locations, or at least I think there were 12 locations globally that they went to and talked to our employees. They pulled back the data from employee review sites like Glassdoor or Kununu. We looked at our own internal engagement scores. So Stryker works pretty closely with the Gallup organization, and we do their Q12 employee engagement survey every year. So we shared with them the results of that information. And then they also did some external kind of testing in the market with people on what they knew about Stryker and asked some questions there. Compiled all of that information. They brought it back to the corporate communications team. And I was on the project team, so I was able to be in early and ask questions and generate ideas and things like that. And when we saw the results of what the suggested EVP was, it made complete sense, which I think is exactly what you want your EVP to do, right? It needs to feel authentic and real from your employees. So we have four pillars of our EVP. It's the people, the culture, the work, and the growth. We're a very relationship-driven organization, so it was not surprising to hear that people loved working with the people that they do. We're also this kind of unique culture of we're all in it together, and we win together, and we celebrate together. So there's that definite togetherness culture, that driven culture that we have of making things happen. The work itself has been really interesting for us to pull on from the technology recruitment marketing side of kind of our pillar there is our customers and patients are at the heart of everything that we do. And so again, going back to finding those people who are really mission driven in what they want to do with their careers, we pull a lot on that work pillar and the fact that they get what they get to do gets to improve people's lives. And then the fourth one is growth. And it's kind of two pieces. It's the growth of the company. So we have had 38 consecutive years of growth as an organization, but it's also growth within your own career. And some of the focus group work that we did specifically around R&D engineering recently, the number one thing that was a driver for our engineers is growth within their career. So we'll really be pulling on that one as we go out and message to, again, the technology sector and finding those people who are mission-driven, but also those people who are really focused on opportunities within an organization. And I think our talent development and talent management teams have done a great job of helping the organization really build clear steps within the organization of where you can go and the hats that you can try on. And if you want to be a people manager, great. And if you don't, you just want to be a rock star software engineer and move up those ranks, then you can do that as well. And we try to highlight that with our recruiters and in the marketing campaigns that we do.
Is there an essence or an overall tagline for this?
There really isn't. We have a mission statement together with our customers. Mm-hmm. We are driven to make health better, which ties in all of our corporate values, but also ties into our EVP. What I love about the EVP that we've come up with, it's very flexible. When you're working with pillars like this, you can take any of these four pillars and use them in the way that you need to. So for instance, we're working on an employment brand project in the Nordics region. We're really trying to find more sales and marketing people. And our recruiters there, we're having to spend the first, 10 to 15 minutes on the phone with a candidate explaining just who Stryker was. We knew that we had no brand presence there, really. So we're pulling on the people and the culture and what a great place this is to work for the Nordics region. So we're pulling on those two pillars for them. Whereas in India, we're really focused on the work and the growth opportunities within the organization. So much flexibility. There isn't a set script that we have to use. We've definitely giving guidelines for each of the pillars, but as long as the messaging ties back to one of those, that flexibility really allows you to be regional and functionally aligned.
And just out of interest there, the tech people you mentioned earlier on, which pillar speaks best to them?
The growth. They're really interested in the opportunity to grow their careers and continue to innovate. They also really are focused on what they call flexible work. Give them an idea or let them come up with an idea and then let them run. They really enjoyed that. So growth opportunity within the organization was number one, and then flexibility to try new things was number two for them.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about activation. When you launched the EVP, did you do a big bang activation? And also, are you doing specific activation campaigns in places like the Nordics or Michigan or even Costa Rica?
So they actually, the corporate communications team decided to go with more of a grassroots effort when we launched the EVP. So they did global trainings for the HR business partners and the global communicators, those in charge of communication in their regions. And we're trying to do kind of from a bottom up. So it was more of a groundswell, a feel. We're starting to see common messaging across the globe. And then we launched a new kind of brand toolkit 2 years before that. So everyone was getting used to kind of the commonized look and feel and sound of who Stryker was. For the talent acquisition team, I actually took it in a different direction, which is I consider us the power users of the EVP. We are continuously using that as recruiters in conversations with candidates, as well as from the branding and marketing side of things. So we did kind of a big bang launch for talent acquisition. I had 3 globally timeframe friendly meetings so everyone could join. We walked through the EVP. I set up talking points, kind of documented talking points and scripting for recruiters of how they could start incorporating some of those EVP messages into their candidate conversations. That has still continued to this day as new recruiters are brought into the organization. They go through kind of that EVP training and the talking points. It's just really, we've gotten some really good feedback about that. At the same time, we launched some new visuals for the TA team. So we really tried to make it fun and exciting. And again, when we went through the EVP, no one in talent acquisition was really surprised on what they saw because it was so true to who the company was and how the people felt. So it was a really easy transition for them and starting to use some of those tools. And the recruitment marketing and branding side, I would say that one took a little bit longer. Recruitment marketing and branding is still very new to the organization as a whole. Like I said, it's only really 2 years old now. We were doing social media and stuff like that, but that's just such a small piece of what talent branding is. It's taken a little bit longer. So for instance, I just got an outreach from one of our locations this week who wanted to put together an employment brand video for their geography. And they didn't think about using the EVP and how they were storyboarding out the video. So I've been spending some time with them and trying to re-educate on EVP and working with their agency to make sure that those messages are really coming out in that video. So that's taken a little bit longer. It's not natural thought for people, especially around video for some reason. Everyone is just so excited to do a video. Let's do a video of this and let's do a video of that. I've found there isn't a lot of planning that goes into it when the business is excited. I got to help them back it up and think about the scripting and think about the EVP and how do we make sure that comes across, because my role and my team's role is to make sure that we show up and sound the same across the globe, no matter if it's a video, if it's a social media post, it's a paid marketing ad that we're doing. It all has to look and feel the same.
What sort of metrics do you use to measure the impact on employer brand, perhaps even ROI? And yeah, how do you report this to your boss?
For us, a lot of times the business is contributing the dollars on the projects that we want to do. I have a pretty thin budget, again, as probably most of us do. And so a lot of times the particular division or business will say, okay, we want to do something big around Costa Rica as an example, right? And so the dollars usually come from them. And when you're talking to a business who's very financially driven and used to metrics, and you have to remind them that ROI is not necessarily complete flow through to that particular hire, right? So I heard this a few years ago at a conference, and I like to call it the return on engagement. So instead of tying it to one particular hire, which by the way, we cannot do with our current ATS, unfortunately, we look at other indicators. So we're looking at our social site performance. So we're active on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter and Instagram right now. So we're looking at engagement. We look at followers just within my team. It's not something that we're necessarily tracking because we're tracking or reporting up, but more about visitor and engagement traffic. We look at our career site traffic as well in trying to understand, are we driving more people into the career site, which essentially should be more people into the top of that funnel. This year, we've really kind of turned the corner and started talking about, are we driving the right people into the top of the funnel as well. We look at application rates and applicants per rec to understand if we're driving people again into the jobs themselves. We look at our sources for traffic and hires. We're watching our paid advertising performance, so impressions, click-through rate. I'm a big believer in looking at benchmarks too. So I think some of our external partners get a little frustrated with me and I'll say, okay, tell me if that's good. Just telling me, you know, if LinkedIn is just telling me, oh, your click-through rate was 1.2%. I'm like, all right, well, is that good or bad? Or like, help me understand the benchmarks. So we've really been focusing on that as well. And then we're also looking at employee review sites. So Glassdoor is our biggest one. Kununu, because of the Germany presence that we have. But we also are starting to look at others like Comparably and a few others that look like they're coming up, maybe Fairy Godboss and some others too. It kind of runs the gamut. It's everything from the social aspect or the digital side of things. It's the career site traffic. It's the application traffic. And then it's kind of employee review or interviewee reviews as well.
What's from your employer brand talent attraction journey, what would be your top tips to our listeners, and also include any pitfalls to avoid, please?
Bringing people along for the ride is critical. And by people, I mean people outside of the talent branding mix. Having a great relationship with the public relations team, having a great relationship with communications and legal and HR compliance, all of those pieces have helped us really be able to innovate and try some new things a lot quicker. So I think you can't underscore relationships enough. Another kind of tip and trick we learned, I think, recently is, look, recruitment marketing is super sexy and it's the shiny new thing that people are grabbing onto that organizations think are going to solve all of their hiring problems. And that's a piece of it. But the recruitment marketing and talent branding has to be part of a bigger talent strategy. And being able to educate your businesses and your organization that this is just a piece of that and not the silver bullet that's going to solve it all for you is something that I think we've learned pretty quickly this year. That was really a tough one for us to message to people. Like, I think what we do is awesome. And I think it solves or helps to solve a lot of things. So we want to push it out front, but we also needed to pull it back and make sure that our business facing talent acquisition people were really the stars of the show.
How can our listeners connect with yourself, and where can they study and take some cues from Stryker's employer brand?
Yeah, so I'm on LinkedIn. Well, I'm everywhere. So you can find me. And with a unique name like Tennille, it's usually a pretty easy search to find me. So feel free to reach out there. Like I said, our work is on the social side, is on all the major channels, maybe minus Snapchat, which is probably never a place that we are going to show up, but we'll see. So feel free to reach out there. We also have a careers blog. careers.stryker.com is our career site. You can check that out. We also have an intern blog going through the summer right now, as all of our US summer interns are in place. And so they're contributing a lot of posts there. So you can check that out as well.
Great. Well, thank you so much for your time today.
Absolutely. It's been great chatting. Thanks so much.
All right. There you have it. Feel free to connect with Tennille and check out Stryker, of course, and all social media networks out there. And if you're into social, you may also want to follow the Employer Branding Podcast on Twitter. So it's Employer Brand UK is the Twitter handle. Also, feel free to subscribe to this podcast. You'll find it on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Google Podcasts, and what's the last one? Spotify. Actually, lots more, Acast and other places, Stitcher perhaps. However, if you'd like to leave a review and help us to reach more people like yourself, I'd be much obliged if you could do that on Apple Podcasts, which is the main discovery engine for podcasts, apparently. Also, if you're interested in measuring employer brand, try to instill a little bit of proof, evidence, data, results, all that jazz into what can sometimes be a little bit fluffy, a little bit intangible employer brand. Then check out employerbrandindex.co. So the Employer Brand Index is our way of measuring an organization's reputation in the eyes of candidates, employees, and alumni. And that is it for this week. Thank you so much for tuning in, and looking forward to catching up next time. Hey!
Did you hear about the two peanuts that got into a fight? One of them was assaulted.